All right, thanks very much. I want to start out by pointing out, which I think is true of most of the talks that you're going to hear today, that this is really a collaboration of a number of different people with different areas of expertise. So that's one of the exciting things about LENA, is that you bring a lot of people together. So that's why I did this little collage of our various logos to kind of highlight that. All right. So the talk is about acoustic convergence, but I think I need to start with why I look at convergence. And you, I'm sure, are all familiar with the sort of motto of LENA, every word counts. And that leads us to sort of a perspective of it being all about quantitative measures. And as the folks at LENA know, and all of the presenters so far have really highlighted, it's not just about counting the number of words that kids hear. So feedback, and the way that I'm using it is feedback to the child is very important. So amount is important, but feedback is key. So we were interested in looking at one type of feedback relationship between the mother and the child. This isn't just a one-way interaction. It's a recursive type of interaction. And that is what we call acoustic convergence. So this is something that there's a very large literature on in the adult literature, looking at how when two adults are engaged in a conversation together, they tend to converge towards sharing similar linguistic properties. And this is a broad spectrum of linguistic properties, including syntactic structures and things like that, but also with respect to acoustic characteristics. So what do we know about mothers and infants? Well, there is some research on this, not as much as in the adult literature, and it's a little bit hard to tease apart because often with the infant literature, we don't talk about convergence so much as we talk about imitation. And those are two very intimately tied notions, but they have some theoretically different underpinnings. But we do know that there is imitation and convergence that occurs between mothers and infants when they're talking. And so with respect to vowel quality, with respect to some duration measures, and there's some research with pitch as well. But what's interesting is that you find this gap where most of the research with respect to infants is at 12 months and younger. Then you get research with 7 years and older, but there's this kind of gap where a lot of the early conversational interactions are going on after that 12-month period. So we were interested in looking at a slightly older age group, older infants and toddlers between 13 and 30 months. And we're looking at what I'm calling a large, although for LENA it's not very large, naturalistic sample, and it's ongoing data collection. So far we have 13 infants, and we're collecting between 3 to 5 days of recording per child. And we're looking within the same child at multiple cues, so duration, pitch, and speaking rate. LENA doesn't directly give us this information, but what it does do that's really helpful is it provides us our ability to analyze our data by conversational block. And so what we can do is look not just at a single measure per child mother pair, but actually to look within a child mother pair, looking at comparing across conversational blocks. And that allows us to do a more careful analysis. And I'm going to talk a little bit, because I know that not everybody in the audience are LENA veterans, and I think a conference like this is helpful to talk a little bit about how the data are the guts of the data analysis. So hopefully that'll be helpful to some of you. So just quickly, here's our data structure. So we have block type, for those of you not familiar, the first one is an adult, a female adult-initiated conversational block. And the second one is a child-initiated conversational block. Okay, and then we have the age of the child, we have the gender of the child, and then we have looking at speaker ID in our analysis. That's submerged within the acoustic properties, though, because we're looking at acoustic properties of the mother and of the child. But we exclude the other speakers that might emerge within that conversational block. Then we also have this measure of the mother-infant pair. So who's the group that is, who's the individual group that's being looked at? So step one was just to create an 8x output only of those conversational blocks of interest, so the AICF and the CIC. And that's what that looks like. But then we had to do a number of different types of cleanups to the data in order to do our analysis. And I want to highlight that we were using a number of other types of scripts. So R scripts, which are statistical analysis, and Pratt scripts, which allow us to do acoustic analysis. And these, I want to stress that these work very nicely with the LENA system because of the 8x output. So what we do with this is we calculate the segment length, location, and the length from the 8x output. And that's important because the LENA doesn't provide us directly the acoustic, all of the acoustic measures that we want. And then from there we have to exclude certain segments that emerge in those conversations that we're not interested in. And we also excluded any segments where the child vocalization or the female speech was less than 50% of the segment itself, because there are other non-linguistic child vocalizations and things like that that can emerge in the data set. And then we did our acoustic analysis, so we calculated the pitch values, the maximum, minimum, and mean using an ERB scale, and also calculated the speaking rates based on an intensity, the use of the intensity and voicing measures to locate vowels. Okay. So we didn't use the LENA measures to do this, although it might be possible to do that. We haven't explored that directly. Okay, so the next thing that we had to do is we excluded any segments that were less than 1 second. And if you look at the graph on the left, you'll see that there's a bunch of weird oddities in the data that emerge because of some of the ways that LENA goes through its processing of segments and puts some minimum duration constraints on the data, and then goes through a process of labeling. So it creates these kind of oddities in the data that we needed to exclude. And we went through a few different possibilities for how to deal with this, including a reprocessing of the data where we tried to go take the segment and then redefine the boundaries. And that helped somewhat, but it actually did not cause the oddities to go away entirely. So what we ended up doing was just excluding everything less than 1 second. So this is based exclusively on utterances that are greater than 1 second. And we're in the process of trying to come up with a way to try and look at those shorter utterances as well, because they might be relevant. Okay, so then the next step was to create a value per conversational block. So we merged all of the segments within a conversational block to give one score for each acoustic measure for the child and one score for the female adult, creating a single row of data for each conversational block, including mother information and child information. Okay, so then using R, we calculated using a linear mixed model analysis to look at correlations between the mother and the infant. So here, each conversational block is a data point. You can see there's a lot of data there. And when we look at, so our analysis is more complex than what's shown here in the graph, because we did actually take into account the mother-infant pair and other variables. But what you see is that there is no significant correlation if we look at duration. And what's interesting, in other studies, there is some evidence for effects of duration in mother-infant pairs. So we're going to look at this a little bit more carefully. One possibility is that it's due to our cutoff at 1 second, which may be making, may be causing problems, excluding data that might be relevant to the variance. That's what we get with things that are greater than 1 second. And what's interesting is that even though we don't see a correlation with duration itself, we do see a correlation when we look at the speaking rate. So here, what you're seeing on the bottom, if it's hard to see, I should clarify that. So on the bottom is, it's kind of tiny, sorry. So the mother speaking rate is on the bottom and the child speaking rate is on the y-axis. Okay. So those are correlated with each other. And also, all of our pitch measures were also significantly correlated here. I'm just showing you a graph of the mean pitch. Okay. So the other thing that we looked at was initiator effects. So LENA also gives you who's the person who initiated the conversational block. So who started talking? Was it the mother who started talking, or was it the infant who started talking? If we're talking about conversation as an interactive kind of effect, that may have a very important role to play in how these interactions play out. So what we've done is, logistic regression, looking at various models to see whether there are factors that are going to predict which block type that particular set of data comes from. And what we found was that the best model predicts block type using the following factors. The female adult speaker duration, the female adult speaking rate, and the child speaking rate. Okay, so if we look at that a little bit more carefully, so if here's just a graph that shows the female duration during the adult-initiated blocks. Adult-initiated compared to CIC. So on the left is the adult-initiated, and on the right is the child-initiated. And these aren't huge differences, but what you can see is that there is a longer duration in the female, female speaker utterance duration in the AICF, so in the adult, the female adult initiated blocks. Okay. We also find, relatedly, that there's a that the mothers are speaking at a faster speaking rate in those mother initiated blocks. Okay. And conversely, what we find is that the child is speaking more rapidly in the child initiated blocks than in the mother initiated blocks. So we're not really sure, there's a number of different possibilities for what this is actually telling us about what's going on. One possibility is that there's sort of more more speech-like interactions going on for the mother and less imitation of childlike vocalization. So some of these interactions are mothers, you know, sort of imitating their child's vocalizations, and you can think about that as likely to be something that's going on when the child initiates the interaction. Whereas conversational blocks that might be initiated by the mother might be more sort of these mother questioning the child, trying to get them to respond in some verbal way. But at this point, this that's speculation. We're going to look a little bit more carefully at what are some of the things that differentiate these conversational blocks. Okay. Okay. So I, in summary, I want to say a couple things about the process. So what's nice is that there's this relatively smooth interface between ADEX and some of these other scripts that we as psychologists and linguists like to do to analyze the data, and that's very nice. But there are some problems that we're working through, in particular the minimum length constraints, segment assignment process sort of creates these anomalies in the data that we're still working to work out the kinks on that. And I think, you know, excluding to less than 1 second gets at part of the problem, but we'd like a better solution in the long term. In terms of our findings, we are finding evidence for mother-infant acoustic convergence in a block-by-block analysis, conversational block-by-conversational block analysis, which I think is really exciting. We also see effects of mother duration and speaking rate predicting whether the block is a mother-initiated block or an infant-initiated block. So the implications are that we're seeing evidence of these feedback effects, these feedback effects, interactions are going to be sort of crucial for the language learning process, and I think this converges with the other talks in really suggesting that we can't get stuck on these simple quantitative measures, that we really have to look at that conversational interaction. So I have 1 minute left. I'd like to at least allow one question if possible, so I'm going to stop there, and those are my acknowledgements. Yes? Right. So we have primarily using ADEX to tell us where the segments are as a starting point. So ADEX outputs the starting point of the segment, and then you have to do a little bit of fancy footwork to get where it ends. And then we have the wave file, and we can just use that with our Pratt script to pull up the chunk of speech that we want to analyze. There are some acoustic measures that you can get directly from LENA, but some of them we can't, so we're actually taking, so far, all of our measures from the Pratt analysis, just to be consistent. I'm sorry?
Does your script automatically label the adult start the clock, or the child?
That we're getting from ADEX, and so we're just merging the two data sets and then analyzing across them.
Okay.